ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around telling him he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. Two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Here is a remarkable so death remix. J.E. y'all, Run DMC to the beach, y'all. And me, y'all know my name. Come on.
See, first of all, yeah. I know these so-called players wouldn't tell you this.
What?
But I'ma be real and say what's on my heart. Let's take this chance and make this love feel relevant. Didn't you know I loved you from the start? Yeah. Think about all the years we put in this relationship.
Yeah.
Who knew we'd make it this far? Then I think about where would I be if we were to just fall apart? Cause I can't stand the thought of leaving you.
You got the altar in your white dress. We ain't getting no younger.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 174 of The Report. And right now, we're rocking out to some old Jagged Edge, man. Let's get married to remix. Rock out with your boy. The music then cut
baby
out on
us having some babies. Come on, won't you be my lady?
Yes, indeed, man. We are chilling out here on this Sunday afternoon, man. Maxing and relaxing. Just got finished being in the wedding, y'all. That's what inspired this music, bro. That's what's inspired all of this. Like, this whole Jagged Edge, let's get married. You know, that was like the worst fucking proposal ever in life, man, that somebody can give somebody. Like, yo, you know what? We ain't getting no younger. So why don't we just go ahead and do this shit? Like, that has to be the worst fucking proposal anybody's ever given in history, real talk. But yeah, man, it's a celebration, though, real talk. One of my best friends, man, my boy Henry, got married yesterday, and he gave me the honor of being one of the groomsmen in his wedding. Him and his wife Mira, his new wife Mira, they tied the knot yesterday. And so yeah, man, my weekend has kind of been tied up with that, man, and helping them bring in their new life together and whatnot, man. And it was cool, man. It was beautiful. You know, it was one of those times where, like, you know, all of the groomsmen, we actually known each other for quite some time, man. Pretty much since I want to say since we like 13, 14 years old, man. So we got like, those are like relationships that are like 20 years deep, you know, and like to have us all together in the room, man, and watch one of our brothers go ahead in a new chapter in his life, man, it was real dope, man, real talk. So yeah, congratulations to Mira and Henry, and welcome to that married life, bro. Welcome to that married life. So yeah, I felt like it was apropos to start off today's show with a little bit of celebration and the fact that they you know, they went on ahead and they got them nuptials in, man, real talk. But yeah, man, that kind of explains also why there wasn't a show Thursday, although I should have put out at least a throwback Thursday episode. I was going to get fitted for my tux and whatnot, man. There was some pre-wedding day events going on with that, man, and it just kind of tied me up, and it was like, ah, shit, I can't really get on the mic. So that's what's going on, and I'm going to give you guys a heads up now. Next Thursday and Sunday, there won't be a show. I will be in New Orleans celebrating my own anniversary, man. Me and my wife will be celebrating our second year anniversary down in New Orleans, man. So yeah, there won't be a show this coming Thursday and or Sunday. So yeah, be prepared for that, right? So this will probably be the last show you guys hear from me for a little bit until I get back from New Orleans, man. Real talk. And shout out to everybody, all of my listeners down in Louisiana, man, who fuck with Despair Airport. As a matter of fact, man, I was kind of going over some of the download numbers and stuff like that, and I was looking at where the show is being listened to and where the show is being the best received, man. And yo, real talk, man, the South fuck with your boy, man. Georgia and Texas, man, y'all showing the fuck out when it comes to us, like downloads of the show, man. Listening to the show, man. California out west is showing their ass, man. They're like, they really fuck with your boy, man. So I really want to give a shout out to you guys. I've been doing this podcast this month. I want to say it's been 7 years, man, since I first started the Span Report. And the interesting thing about that, man, is like, yo, I started this podcast, man. Mr. Gates was the one who put the bug in my ear. Was like, yo, you probably should be doing a podcast, man. I was already doing YouTube videos and what have you, but he's like, yo, you should probably be doing a podcast. And here I am 7 years later, man, after like starting off with a laptop and a headset and sitting in my living room speaking into a void, man, not really knowing how people were receiving what I was saying, trying to make shit funny when I'm really not a comedian, and like, you know, going through the growing pains of podcasting and like going through writer's block and podcast block, not knowing what to say, feeling like what I had to say was, you know, outdated and whatnot, like just going through the growing pains of doing this, knowing that I wanted to do it, but sometimes not having the not knowing if it was something that I could do at all times, man. And for me to still be doing this here 7 years later, man, and you know, like the show's live now and we do video and, you know, we've incorporated like, you know, better mics and shit like that, you know, like it's grown into its own thing. And so for the people who fuck with me, man, like the people who've been listening all throughout the country, man, I know I shouted out the South and I shouted out, you know, California out west, but yo, people in New York are fucking with the show, man. People in North Carolina and Georgia are fucking with the show. Florida's fucking with the show. I mean, yo, I appreciate all of you guys, and I especially want to send a special shout out to the listeners overseas, man, like the people who are listening in Cote d'Ivoire and Thailand and Pakistan and the United Kingdom. And the United Kingdom really fuck with us heavy over here, man. So I really want to give a shout out to all our British listeners, man. It's important. It's important to me that you guys know how much I appreciate the fact that you guys up until this point I still messing with me. I still listening to me and still want to hear what I have to say about things, man. I started this thing off like with the feeling that, yo, I got something to say, and it's beautiful and it's rewarding to find out that people do want to hear what it is that I have to say. I'm here. I am sitting in the spare bedroom in my home and people are still listening to what it is that I got to say, man. So I really do appreciate all of you guys who have been rocking with your boy for these 7 years while we've been doing the Spare Report thing, man. Real talk. I really do appreciate that sincerely, man. Real talk. But of course, with that, we got to get into the business before we can get to the rest of the show, right? So before I get into everything, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spare Report. Let the voice be heard, man. Let all of your voices be heard. Go ahead and hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play them on the show and respond right here on the show. You can also email me at feedback@thespareandreport.com. That's feedback@thespareandreport.com. Of course, I'll read those emails here. I'll reply to those emails here, and you get heard by everybody who's listening to the show, right? Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So of course you guys can go ahead and follow me there. It's very much appreciated for you guys to do that. We could chop it up throughout the week. Also, like the Mr. Span fan page, but if you really want to get, you know, the best experience of the Span Report on Facebook, go ahead and try to get into that Facebook fan page group, man. The Span Report, hashtag TSRP, the fam. Try to join the group and commiserate amongst, you know, the other listeners of the group, you know, other listeners of the show, man. You know, bring in topics, talk about things amongst yourselves. Sometimes I'm in there a lot, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, if you want to have an experience with the Span Report on Facebook, go ahead and try to get into that Facebook fan page group of the Span Report. All right, so go ahead, it's the Span Report, hashtag TSRP, the fam, and you should go ahead and put that in, and I'll put you in there. You know, that's kind of the thing. And for those of you who want to watch the show live, man, subscribe to the show on crowdcast.io. Please do that. You can watch the show live. You can call into the show live while we're doing it. And you can participate in the chat room. All of that's going on as we do the show live. And, of course, for all of your Span Report needs, man, go to www.thespanreport.com. You can go there, vote in the polls. You can go in there and make comments on the episodes. You can watch the shows later on. Everything, man. You can download the show from there. Everything's available there at thespanreport.com. And for those of you who are also so kind, hook your boy up with a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio, man. It's very much appreciated. And it's your way of putting down for the show. It's your way of letting people know that you fuck with us here at the Span Report. And it doesn't cost you a dime. You know what I'm saying? Just a little spread of the word, man. It's word of mouth. So, yeah, man, I appreciate everybody who would go ahead and do that, man. Real talk. So, let's get into the show, man. Real talk, man. It's been a week since the last time I talked to you guys, man. So, there's been some things that have been going on as of late. Some of the things I haven't really had a chance to talk about because of the limited amount of time I've had to actually be on the mic because of all these things going on in my life, right? So, the first thing first, man, we got to go off and talk about what's going on in the news. All right. Now, one of the first things I kind of saw earlier this week that kind of piqued my, kept my antennas up, right? I saw this story, and it was about this company in Wisconsin that was actually putting microchips in their employees' hands in order for them to get into the, in order for them to access the building and for them to access their computers. Yeah, man, it's this is kind of like some Mark of the Beast kind of shit that you used to read about in the Bible and stuff, right? So let me pull this story up, man. This is actually this is actually a YouTube video. So let me see if I can share this here with you guys here in the chat room for a second. Let me go back over here and let's share the screen. Crowdcast has actually done some changing to the format here. So let me see if I can screen share. And change some stuff up. Excuse me. All right, so we're sharing the screen now. Let's see what we can. Oh, look at that. That's trippy. All right, so let's see if we can pull this video up, and I'm gonna go ahead and play this video so you guys can check it out for yourselves.
Get a chip implanted in your hand, and you could do this. A Wisconsin firm made history by embedding microchips in employees, bringing smartphone-like technology to the human body. The chips are not GPS trackers, but instead similar to payment chips used in smartphones.
Simply hold your iPhone near the reader with your finger on Touch ID. Your fingerprint confirms your identity.
Company officials said this would be a convenience for employees who wouldn't have to badge in or use a corporate login for their computer.
Yeah,
get man. A chip implanted in your hand.
Oh, no, start again. Yeah, that would be a no for me, man. Real talk. That would have to be a definite motherfucking no. So check this out, bro. Here's the thing. Wait, let me go ahead and close that out. Here's the thing. One, I'm not going to let this shit slide. Apple Pay was not the first mobile payment system, man. Like, I'm not letting that slide, bro. It was Google Wallet before, like for 5 years before there was ever a thing like Apple Pay. And, you know, yeah, so I wasn't going to let that slide. But then too, like the thing about this is like, yeah, they don't want you to, they were saying they don't want you to have to use badges and they don't want you to have to use logins for your computers or whatever else. Like, yo, you could put NFC tags on the computers. You could put NFC tags on the doors of your building. Like, it doesn't necessarily require you using a microchip in like embedding them into your employees. And like, I got a couple questions with this, man. One, is this like a condition of employment, right? So if I'm employed by this company, do I have to take these microchips in order to keep my job with this particular employer? If not, then okay, then I'm just gonna opt out and we can still be cool. I can still work there. But if so, then I'm probably gonna have to find a new job because y'all not putting shit in my body, bro. No, that's just not gonna happen. Another thing, man, they said there was gonna be a that these weren't going to be GPS trackers, man. Like, yeah, they say that now. We don't know. As a matter of fact, they could very well be GPS trackers, right? Now, I know, I work in a particular job, man, where, like, you know, we kind of, we work in a field, man. We work out in the public and whatnot. Sometimes there could be an issue with a person being where the fuck they're supposed to be, right? And so like the job gave us all iPhones, right? And one of the biggest concerns that the union had was the fact that these iPhones could be used to track where an employee was or was not. And, you know, there's a couple guys that, like, they were coming to me like, yo, Span, you know how to turn the location, you know, the location shit off on these iPhones, bro? Like, could you hook us up? Like, they were trying to figure that stuff out. But it's another thing, man. Well, like, although the company says that they're not going to be using these to track employees, who's to say that somewhere down the line that they won't and try to implement that? So that's something that is very interesting, too. Like, even when you're off the clock, the job can know where the fuck you are at all times. Like, that's a very big invasion of privacy. So I think that's something that's a little bit crazy. Another thing, man, like, yo, we already have the technology where you don't have to put this shit in your body. You already got a cell phone. Most of your high-end cell phones, like an Apple, like an iPhone, Android phones have had these for years, is the NFC chip on the phones. You use these to... you can use these for mobile payments. You can use them for logging in. You can use it for passing information. There's a bunch of different things that can be used for NFC, and it's not real. And you don't have to put the shit in your body. It's already on your phone. So all you have to do, all this company really had to do, was create an app that accessed the NFC terminal in your phone, and boom, there you go. And put in the requisite, you know, the requisite security apparatuses or what have you to keep you from, you know, divulging sensitive company information or what have you. But yeah, man, like, this is totally, like, to me, I'm looking at this like, nah, man, nah, bro. Ain't no way in hell, man. And y'all know me, man. Like, I'm kind of, like, into this tech shit. Like, I love, like, you know, consumer technology and, like, the advancements of the technology and everything else. But I kind of think this is a bit too far. Like, when you get to the point where you got to start embedding shit into people's bodies in order for this shit to work, in order for them to go to work and stuff like that, I think that's a bridge too far to go. And, yeah, man, I'm kind of fuck with on that one. Real talk, I'm kind of fuck with. So, yeah, I noticed that, and that was something that I kind of wanted to talk to you guys. I wonder what did you guys think about that. Go ahead and hit me up on thespanreport.com. Let me know what you guys are thinking on that, man, because I kind of feel like that's a step above and beyond where that employer should be going when it comes to accessing the building and accessing the computer terminals within the company, man. Real talk. So that's going on, man. We got another story, man. Another update, as a matter of fact, of something we kind of talked about a little bit last week, man. So, of course, we talked about Usher last week and the fact that he had been sued. At that point, he was sued by two women exposing them to the herpes virus, right? And so we got word now, man, that Usher is now being sued by two more women and another young man. Yeah, man, this story just keeps getting, like, worse and worse for Usher, right? So this story here is actually, I'm going to read this story out of menshealth.com. And it says that late last month, Usher's herpes diagnosis became public knowledge. Court documents surfaced on the internet, revealing that the R&B singer had paid an unnamed female stylist $1.1 million after she claimed he had given her the incurable sexually transmitted disease. As a matter of fact, okay, advertising helps. I got an ad blocker on, so now they want me to turn off my fucking ad blocker so they can inundate me with ads to buy a fucking Men's Health subscription. Let me whitelist this damn site so I can read this article. All right, so let's unsubscribe. I don't want to, you know what? No, okay, here we go. It says now attorney Lisa Bloom has announced that she will be filing a suit for an additional three people, two women and one man, who accused a 38-year-old of not disclosing an alleged STD diagnosis prior to sexual contact. One of her clients will be speaking out about this during a press conference on Monday in New York City, while the other two are choosing to remain anonymous and will be identified as Jane Doe and John Doe. In court documents that became public in July, it said the voice coach that was diagnosed with the STD that roughly 20% of adults are living with between 2009 and 2010. Bloom's clients all allegedly had sexual interaction with the You Got It Bad crooner after 2012. However, her initial statement did not reveal whether or not any of these people actually contracted the STD from him. The attorney, who was also representing Blac Chyna in her revenge porn case against her ex, Rob Kardashian, filed the suit in California, where individuals who are aware of the fact that they have an STD are guilty of a misdemeanor if they do not disclose the status of any sexual partners to any sexual partners before engaging in sexual acts. Usher has not spoken publicly about an earlier settlement of these latest accusations. Now, I know the biggest thing that folks are going to try to, like, sensationalize with this is the fact that there's a young man who's involved in this particular lawsuit. And, you know, we're dealing in a situation where we're in a climate where there's a lot of people who have animosity towards the LGBTQ community. They have animosity towards the fact that they feel like these people have been misleading them. You know, we had this whole thing last week where we were talking about the Breakfast Club and how Lil Duval responded to a hypothetical situation that DJ Envy presented to him with transsexuals. Transgender person possibly misleading him into believing something else, right? And I don't want this to kind of like it. Well, it's not even so much about what Span wants or what I want, but like I can tell already, like with the news of this coming out, that folks are automatically just going to assume like, yo, man, Usher's gay. Like, and as if that's somehow going to like be a bad, like as if that's somehow a bad thing. Now I know there's going to be a lot of women who have, you know, I mean, shit, if the image hasn't already been shattered yet, it's probably going to be shattered even more with this. But, you know, there's going to be some expressed disappointment with the fact that Usher may be bisexual, that Usher may have interest in men and what have you. And then you're going to have the contingent of people who just believes everybody in Hollywood is gay. Like, they all fucking around with each other, man. It's Hollyweird and all this other shit, right? But we don't know about what's going on with we don't know the contact that Usher may have had with these people. We don't know, man. Like, at this point, it's very early in the particulars of this story. But what I will say is this, is that right now Usher doesn't have the greatest credibility whatsoever, considering the fact that he's already settled a case for $1.1 million with a woman who just so happened to have been a friend of his ex-wife's. So, yeah, it's not really looking good for Usher on that front. Interestingly enough, his new wife has, you know, has yet to say anything publicly, and by all accounts seem to be standing by Usher despite all of these accusations coming out about him. Maybe she believes that these people are out for money. Who knows? You know, a lot of folks, like, that's the attitude that a lot of people had about Bill Cosby and Camille Cosby, is that like, all these people looking out for money, man, and Camille the queen for standing next to him and all this other shit. Who the fuck knows? All I know is that if these allegations are true, Usher is in a really big pickle, right? It's in big trouble. And it may cost him well more than the $1.1 million that he's already paid out to one woman, especially if there's already two people suing him, and then another two people, and two women. That's a total of five women, and another man. So, yeah, man, it is not looking good for Usher out in these streets, man, or out in the club, or, you know, I don't have the puns, man. I really don't. I really don't, man. But yeah, that's going on, man. So yeah, it's gonna get worse before it gets better for Usher, apparently, man. He's got it bad, real bad right now. Another thing that kind of happened in the news this week, and this is something that I thought was really interesting.
High potassium, cough,
what the
dizziness.
Fuck? Okay, let me go ahead and close that. Yeah, but another thing that kind of happened over the course of the week, man, and I thought was really interesting because of who's involved here. And this story here is about, what's this dude's name? Clay Travis. Now, Clay Travis is a Fox Sports 1 contributor, right? He's a Fox Sports 1 talking head. And he decided, like, well, him and his family, they went on a vacation, right? And they were flying Delta. I think they were coming from overseas, and there was a connecting flight but before he can get home to Nashville. And so before they were actually able to get to Nashville, Delta Airlines discovered that, what's this dude's name again? Clay Travis. They discovered that his son had lice in his hair. So check this out. We're going to read this story here out of TheRoot.com. And it says, I remember the first time that I heard of the term lice. I was in the third grade, and I was warned by my grandmother, never borrow anyone's comb or brush at school. You're not bringing lice into this house. Those words have stuck with me to this day. So imagine my shock and horror after reading about one man being pissed off at Delta Airlines for not allowing his lice-infested child to continue on the flight. Since air travel horror stories have been popular over the last year or so, I quickly clicked Clay Travis's link after seeing it pop up on my Twitter timeline. At first I thought I assumed the airline once again had dropped the ball and would be on the receiving end of some bad press. I couldn't wait to read what had happened to this man and his family, but then I started to read, and then the horror set in, and then I started to itch, and then I said to myself, Delta, thank you. While he was standing in line for the bathroom, my 6-year-old started to scratch his head. My wife checked to see why he was scratching why he was scratching his head and saw that he had lice. Several flight attendants rushed over too and peered down at my son's head. "Oh my God, he has lice," they said. Clay Travis wrote about his flight from Paris to Minneapolis. After the flight attendants noticed the lice, Travis and his family were informed that they would not be allowed to take their flight from Minneapolis to their final destination, and the father was not too pleased. Travis went on to describe the flight attendants as Nurse Ratchet and complained about being inconvenienced at having to have his child submit to medical examinations at the airport in Minneapolis. The Travises were then told that they would have to leave the airport and seek treatment before they would be able to fly again. Now, interestingly enough, man, Clay Travis, I think that's, yeah, Clay Travis, he's one of those, like, kind of shock, I wouldn't even necessarily say shock jock. He's more, I would say he's more right wing in his approach about shit, right? He's one of those people who always talks about, you know, he mocks safe spaces. He's one of those people who mocks, you know, victimhood. He's one of those people who, you know, tries to belittle those who would bring about voice and bring attention to those who are dealing with marginalization issues, right? He's an asshole, so to speak. But hold on a second. I gotta my damn throat is dry. But Clay Travis is an asshole, right? So Clay Travis, you know, he has his attitude that he should be able to fly, that his son should be able to fly despite his son being infested with lice in his hair, right? Now, interestingly enough, he tried to compare himself to some of the other instances of, you know, airlines kind of overstepping their bounds when it comes to the customers that they serve. When they took that Asian man off the flight, when they beat, like, security beat him up and everything, drug him off the flight, man. Like, all these different, oh, the black family who was being booted off of a flight because I think they were told to move like a cake or something from like the overhead compartment or whatever the fuck. But like, all these instances of airlines kind of like going above and beyond, you know, getting people removed off of flights, right? And so, like, if you look at it in this context, you listen to this dude and he's like, "Yo, man, yeah, this is just another instance of the airlines fucking up and all this other stuff." But then you start looking at, like, okay, wait a minute. Your kid got lice, bruh. That's like an infestation right there. Like, to the point where your boy is standing up there, like, scratching like a motherfucker. Like, I don't know if I really want to be on a flight sitting next to him. You know, do those motherfuckers jump? Like, I don't know anything about having lice. I haven't experienced it. I have never been around anybody who's had it that I know of. Hopefully it's something that I would never have to experience as far as like having like head lice or whatever the fuck, right? But yeah, man, so they decided that they're not going to let your son fly on the plane. They tell you to get your ass out of the airport, take your son to a hospital so he can get that shit treated before they will allow you on another flight. I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. Not at all. And it's interesting that in a time where this dude, especially, it was almost like poetic justice considering who it was happening to. Now, of course, I don't wish any ill will on the 6-year-old. The 6-year-old has, you know, no, I don't, you know, he's six. What the fuck, right? But his father is a known dickhead. And his father goes out of his way to talk shit about those people who are dealing with being marginalized all the time. Those who are being mistreated all of the time. So now all of a sudden he feels like he's being mistreated, right? He's got this white persecution complex going on where Delta Airlines mistreated me and my son and they don't want us to get on these flights. Like, yeah, man, because we don't want nobody else to get that shit. We don't want anybody else to have to deal with maybe having to go to the doctor, maybe having to get treated for lice. We don't want to have to deal with that shit. We don't want to have to deal with the cost of maybe getting sued because we allowed you to be on this flight and now somebody else has been infected with the shit and now they coming at us because we allowed your ass and your son to be on these planes. So, yeah, man, I don't blame Delta Airlines at all for this shit happening, right? Now, I want to pose this question to you guys. Would you want to sit on a plane with anybody that you knew had lice? Would you sit next to those people on the flight? If you knew that they had lice, would you do that? Would that be something that you would consider? As a matter of fact, I made that a poll on today's show, man. Go ahead and vote in the poll. If you knew that a passenger next to you on the airline was flying had lice, would you continue with the flight or would you want those people booted off the flight, man? Let me know. Go ahead and vote in the poll on episode 174, man. And we gonna hear more about Clay Travis a little bit later on in the show because, again, like I said, he's kind of an asshole and he got himself in some other shit earlier in this week besides this that kind of made a little bit of news. But, yeah, man, like, Yeah, I'm not trying to fly with your son next to me and he got lice and he's scratching and shit and the motherfucker's jumping off his fingers and he touched something else and now they're in the food. Yeah, man, it's just a whole thing, bruh. Nah, I can't do it. Sorry. Nah. Right? So, yeah, man, that's going on. Now, one more story in the news, man. One more story in the news. Now, Fox News has been in the news quite a bit because apparently the dudes over at that network can't seem to act efficiently. They can't seem to act ethically when it comes to male-female relationships at the network, right? And so we get this story here, man, with Eric Bolling, right? Eric Bolling is a Fox News host. He has been a Fox News host for quite some time. And he's being sued right now. As a matter of fact, no, he's been suspended by Fox News over the fact that he's been allegedly sending naked dick pics to chicks at the job. Now, of course, we've been talking about Fox News and some of the things that have been going on with them over the course of the last, what, year and a half now. There was the big sexual harassment lawsuit that was filed last year that resulted in Roger Ailes being booted out as the head of that network. There was also the story of Bill O'Reilly being accused of sexual harassment over that network and him being forced to him being fired from that network. So you no longer have the O'Reilly factor on television anymore. Then we just talked about Charles Payne like two weeks ago. We talked about Charles Payne and the affair that he was supposedly having with Scotty Nell Hughes, who was a regular Fox News contributor, until, of course, she states that something happened with their relationship and now they weren't using her anymore. So, yeah, man, like Fox News has had a spate of stories come out about their on-air talent being kind of like, you know, like kind of being some pigs, man. So here's the story. This actually comes out of the BBC. And he says U.S. television network Fox News has suspended one of its presenters after he was accused of sending lewd photographs to three female co-workers. Eric Bolling, a longtime host of the network, allegedly sent the messages on separate occasions several years ago. His lawyers described the claims as untrue and terribly unfair. Fox News said that an investigation is underway. It is the third high-profile harassment case to hit the conservative cable news outlet recently. Citing 14 unnamed sources, the Huffington Post, a politically liberal news site, reports that Mr. Bolling sent unsolicited photos of male genitalia by text message to two colleagues at Fox Business and one at Fox News. Eric Bolling has been suspended pending the investigation, the results of an investigation, which is currently underway, a Fox News spokesperson said. Now, interestingly enough, it's getting to a point with like some of these guys, man, where like you really can't necessarily be surprised considering who the fuck they like, you know, some of the politics that they endorse, some of the people that they buddy and pal around with. For those of you who aren't necessarily familiar with Eric Bolling, I got this video of him. Let me pull this up. As a matter of fact, let me see if I can share this with you guys here. Wait, that's the wrong window. Okay, let me see if I can pull this up and share this. Where's the share button? Come on. All right, share screen. All right. So we're going to watch this here together. Check this out.
Time to wake up America. A tale of two presidencies. On one hand, Donald Trump is a popular president with real Americans.
I don't know what the fuck that was. Jesus Christ. Whew. I'm going to have to edit that out later. But yeah, so let me pull this back up. I had two windows open at the same damn time. And that's what it was. Okay.
For me, 1,000 times. Stop listening to the polls, stop listening to the media, and stop listening to the anti-Trumpers. Listen to the people, not to the other presidency. The coastal elites, along with the mainstream media, are constantly trying to derail the president on all fronts. The Washington Post just published the leaked classified phone conversations between President Trump and Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto and Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. Forget the fact that these leaks are highly illegal. There are also substantial national security risks.
He also wants us to forget the fact that on those damn phone calls, Donald Trump was talking about the wall and telling the Mexican president to stop saying you're not going to pay for the wall because it's making me look bad. That's what that was the context of the conversation. So it's funny with these conservatives, man. Like, they keep talking about, oh my God, these leaks are so highly illegal. They're so fucking fucked. They're fucked up, and we should get these people locked up. They're like, yeah, but what was the substance of the leak? What was the content of the leak? And if the content of the leak is showing a bit of double speak on the part of the president or a part of the people who are the targets of the leak, then I think we should be paying a lot more attention to the content of it rather than, you know, you being so upset that it was leaked in the first place, right? Now, mind you, I am not saying that the leaking itself could not be troublesome for the people who are doing it. It is illegal. They could get in trouble for doing it. The fact of the matter remains is this, that they feel so compelled by what's going on in this particular White House that they feel like they have to say something. And the only way that this shit gets out to the American people is for them to leak this shit out. Right? So you want us to ignore the content of what's going on. You just want us to focus on the fact that it was leaked at all. Right? This guy, of course, he's a personal friend of Donald Trump. He is he's a Fox News contributor. I remember videos of him being circulated around. I think this was sometime last year. This was after, like, Pussygate came out with Donald Trump talking about he grabs women by the pussy and shit. And this dude here was one of Donald Trump's and continues to be one of Donald Trump's biggest supporters. He also, like, he's talking in this story about a tale of two presidents, a tale of like Obama failed America and all this other shit. He speaks about Obama like he presided over civil unrest in America as if, like, the actual things that the police were doing wasn't the cause of these civil unrest to begin with. Like, this shit just bubbled over and it was just Obama's fault. Like, it's y'all, you get it. But yeah, man, like, after dealing with the issues of Charles Payne, after dealing with the issues of Roger Ailes, after dealing with the issues of Bill O'Reilly, here's another instance at Fox News where one of their on-air talented people, one of the people that they present, and Fox News tries to present a lot of this as if they have some sort of moral high ground, man. Like, here's another instance of a dude who can't seem to keep his ethics, can't seem to keep his pants up at the workplace, man. And so, yeah, that was going on in the news. I thought that was pretty fucking interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if this asshole loses a job, and I don't think anybody would shed a tear either, right? So, yeah, man, that's been going on. I should have had that shit in sexy time. But I didn't have that shit in sexy time because it wasn't sexy. But I do got a story for sexy time.
Yeah, baby. It's sexy time. Mr. Spain.
All right. Today's story in Sexy Time with Mr. Spam, we're going over to Asia. Shout out to my Asian listeners. Shout out to Japan. Y'all fuck with your boy. But I got to give y'all some shit today. Right? I got to give y'all some shit because apparently, man, y'all are real excited about these VR sex festivals, man. This porn sex festival going on in Japan, man. So check this out. In Japan, as a matter of fact, this comes from, TWA TechWire Asia. Japan's first VR porn festival canceled because there were too many damn attendees. Now, check this out, man. Let's read this story. It says, if there was ever a need to indicate just how many people want to know about virtual reality porn, this would be it. The first adult virtual reality festival held in Tokyo over the weekend had to be canceled after attracting too many eager beavers. Adult VR Fest 01, set up in the... Akihabara district drew so much attention that the street outside the venue became overcrowded and police eventually had to attend the scene and break up the throngs of people. About 600 people gathered outside the venue to get inside the festival, reports gaming website Dinfaminko Gamer. Damn, that's a lot of motherfuckers, man. A lot of motherfuckers. According to the Upload VR, a news site focusing on virtual reality developments, a few people did manage to get inside the event and witness all the goings on for themselves, which, if the preview video was anything to go by, is completely bizarre. Released in January, the preview video includes a demonstration of a device with a closed fist attached to it that's designed to, well, And let me see if I can. Let me share this screen with y'all, because basically this damn thing is like a fist and it's jacking you off. It's what it's designed to do. And this guy's got like a virtual reality headset on, and there's this apparatus in front of him with a big ass fist that's supposed to like go up and down in a jerking off motion. Another invention included a box, and users who placed their hands inside would have air blown on them in such a way that it apparently stimulated the feeling of touching a breast. Other videos of the experiences on display at the festival have been uploaded on YouTube. This one, which seems to completely ignore the fact that touch is probably the single most important sense when it comes to intimacy, tracks the user's hands to touch a virtual girl wherever they please. Okay. Let me pull this up. Let's play this video. Let me go ahead and share this with y'all, man. Let's do this. Yeah, let's do that. Let's check this out.
So,
all right, so that was awkward as all hell. So apparently this dude was like in a virtual reality world. There's a virtual girl laying on table and he's supposedly feeling her up, only he can't feel that he's feeling her up. You just see like shadows of his hands on the screen where he's trying to fill her up, and he's basically like trying to finger her and like play with her breast and shit. And it's awkward as hell. Like, he's just reaching out. Like, this dude is sitting in the room with a whole bunch of other dudes, and they can see what's going on his screen through the computer monitor. And it's like as if he's feeling up this virtual woman, but he can't actually feel anything in his hands. Really fucking awkward. It says, arguably the festival's most awkward, awful, and yet most fascinating display was one in which the user humps an inflatable doll, which bizarrely has no arms, no legs, or head, while wearing the VR headset. So while he or she is visually having a great humping time with the virtual woman, everyone else just sees this. And this dude is just like humping like a plastic dummy. And he's got his virtual reality headset on. Like, hey man. We suppose you could say the event ended a little prematurely. Organizers have said that they will be holding another adult VR fest in August. Hopefully they know now that size does matter. Now, I'm going to say this. I am not one to try to shame anybody for their sexual proclivities, so long as the people are consenting adults and you are not harming anyone, then by all means, man, get it how you live. But yeah, this shit looks awkward, bro. This shit looks hella awkward. And it's amazing. It's kind of amazing, man, because of course there's always dudes that are like always hovering over this shit. Very seldom do you see a whole hordes of women like, you know, like kind of clamoring to be at shit like this. Right? Like, because obviously, like, it just seems like these dudes are awkward around women. Like, they have no real they don't know how to act around women, maybe. They don't know how to approach women, maybe. Like, I don't know what it is, but it's just like, dude, he's humping a plastic dummy. Like, like I said, I'm trying very hard not to be like judgmental and all that other shit when it comes to this. How you get down is how you get down. So long as they're all consenting adults, and so long as you aren't harming someone. But goddamn, that's a little odd if you ask me, right? So yeah, that's going on, man. That was Sexy Time with Mr. Span. Right? So yeah, man, we got that going on. Now let's get into some other stuff, man. Let's get into some some more serious topics here, because of course that's what we do here. We talk about a lot of serious shit here on the show as well, right? So of course I came across this ad. This is actually from Procter and Gamble, right? And I heard about this ad a few episodes ago. I was listening to the Black Guy Who Tips, and Rod was talking about this particular ad that he saw on YouTube, and it didn't even have a whole hell of a lot of views. It only had, I think around the time that I heard Rod talk about it, it had about 5,000 views or something like that, right? And so Procter & Gamble put this ad out, and it's basically an ad that is like, it shows black parents of like different times, like from the 60s, the 50s, the 70s, like even up to the current times, where they talk to their children about how to deal with racism in America, right? And so I'm going to play this ad here. And I want you guys to, I want you guys to kind of check this out here. So let me, again, I'm going to pull this up so I can share this with you guys so you guys in the chat room can see it. Let's see, share screen. All right, so let's go back to where the video is. As a matter of fact, let me just open this up in the original. Where is it? Okay, let's just view the original article. I don't want to do it in the reader. Okay, so here's the ad here, and we're going to play this now. Check this out.
Who said that?
It's a young girl getting her hair braided by her mom.
That is not a compliment.
Listen, it's an ugly, nasty word, and you are going to hear it. Nothing I can do about that. But you are not going to let that word hurt you. You hear me?
There are some people who think you don't deserve the same privileges just because of what you look like. It's not fair. It's not.
Remember, you can do anything they can. Difference is you gotta work twice as hard and be twice as smart.
Come straight home after practice. You got your ID?
Yeah.
Guess they stop you.
How's your review?
We're good.
You good?
Yeah,
you see?
We're good.
Okay. Good. Now, when you get pulled over.
I'm a good driver.
Okay. Baby.
Don't worry.
This is not about you getting a ticket. This is about you not coming home.
I'm gonna be okay. Right? Okay.
Okay.
It's not fair. But you keep showing up.
You are not pretty for a black girl. You are beautiful, period. Okay? Don't ever forget that.
So, yeah, beautiful ad, man. Like it's an ad that speaks to an experience here in America that a lot of African American, a lot of black people can relate to. You know, it's amazing, man. Like to watch people be upset about an ad like that. And I guess like the amazing thing about it is that, like, racist people have absolutely no qualms about showing themselves to be racist sacks of shit, right? Because there was at no point in that ad where it like overtly just like, yo, said white people ain't shit. And it never says like, yo, we can't deal with these motherfuckers. Like, it never said anything about, yo, we should burn their shit to the ground. It never says anything about killing these mother. No, it's just something like, hey, man, these are the realities that we have had to deal with ever since we've been in this country. These are the things that we've had to talk to our children about. These are the things that have been bothersome for us in our advancement here in this country. Like these are things that we've all had to deal with at some point of in our lives. And we've had to ingrain this in our kids. Like, yo, these are the things you're going to have to deal with. And it's not fair. And it's not always going to go your way. Like, these are things that we've seen time and time and time and time again. And so it was odd for me to like kind of like read these stories. Like, I read this story and it was basically about the fact that, like, yo, man, it's some white folks out here that's upset with this motherfucking, they upset about this ad, man. So let me go back to, because there was actually a couple, where did I see it? Where is it? Did I save it? Can't tell if I saved it or not. So let me go back here, because there was actually a website. Let me see if they have the link here. All right, so here's the website. It's actually called Conservative Fighters, right? And I'm going to, as a matter of fact, let me share this headline. It says, sick, sick, sick. Racist Procter & Gamble ad crosses every line. If you are white, brace yourself before watching. Now, mind you, for those of you who call yourselves black conservatives, again, I keep telling you motherfuckers that they don't really give a fuck about you, right? But it was ironic with this particular web post is that they found them one nigga, right? They found one nigga who agreed with what the hell it was that they were selling, right? So they use this ad as a proxy, or they use this ad to get white folks riled up. And so I'm going to read from what they say about this shit. We just heard the ad itself. Let's read what the hell they got to say about it. It says, "This is the most racist commercial any company has ever produced. The more than 2-minute video produced by Procter & Gamble, the company that manufactures Cascade, Febreze, Mr. Clean, Tide, Swiffer, Downy, and a plethora of products, shows various scenes of black parents talking with their children about racism. The ad titled The Talk shows scenes of black parents spanning generations telling their kids about how the system is stacked against them, how racist white people are, and teaching them to fear the police. It's not teaching them to fear the police. It's teaching them what the fuck the situation is. As if we don't, like, it's as if we are living in two completely different worlds. As if we are living in parallel dimensions with, like, almost like, if you guys have seen the Stranger Things, right? How, like, there was the other side. Like, the kids were trapped in the other side. It's like a lot of these white folks are trapped in the other side, but they can't necessarily understand the shit that we seeing, although we experiencing the same shit in real time, right? So it goes on to say, this is one of the scenes shows a black mother who appears to be from the 1940s or 50s holding a white doll and telling her mother that a woman at the store told her she was pretty for a black girl. That is not a compliment, the mother said. You are beautiful, period. Okay. In the next scene, a mother talks to her son, presumably about the N-word, a word uttered by more black musicians than white people these days. Oh, really? See, y'all really upset at the fact that we've taken that word away from you and we've used it as a term of endearment. We've taken a lot of the power away from that word. And yo, when that word was being used in the 1940s and 50s, yeah, it was used to hurt black people. It was used to hurt specifically black people. Right? So then it goes on to say, this is an ugly, nasty word, and you're going to hear it. Nothing I can do about that, she said. A subsequent scene shows a mother during a bygone era telling her daughter headed to camp that she can do anything they can do. The difference is you got to work twice as hard to be twice as smart, she said. In another scene, a mother from current times tells her daughter to do what to do when you get pulled over, as if it is guaranteed to happen. Let me tell you, it's guaranteed to happen. It's guaranteed to happen. Now, of course, these type of websites, they put their spin on this ad. They already set it up to where, like, they're trying to get these racist white folks already upset about the fact that these black people even had the audacity. This white company even had the audacity to talk about how we treat these niggas, how we treat black people in America. Like, that shit don't exist. As if they have the moral authority, as if they're going to tell black people that their experience in America is illegitimate. As if we don't have our own experiences within this country to draw with on, you know, to draw from. Every last one of us does. You're not going to tell us that our experience is illegitimate because you don't believe the shit is going on. As I've said many a time, just because you don't see the motherfucking oxygen don't mean you ain't breathing the shit. Right? So, of course, man, you know, like, they hit the Twitter streets and someone, let's see, Sharon Lynn says, propaganda video with no truths is what you posted. Black violence towards police is what you're promoting. How? How? There's another one. Stacey Lynch. Corporate virtue signaling is really off-putting. You don't create empowerment by advocating for victimhood. It's not advocating for victimhood. It's telling we, hey, we need to make it so where we don't have to have these conversations anymore. That's exactly what the fuck the ad said at the end of the ad. We need to make it a world where we don't, where black people don't even have to make these they don't have to have these conversations with the children anymore. White people are losing their shit over the fact that we, like, folks are calling for an end to the bullshit because they know they benefit from it. And they don't want, and the funny thing about it is that they want to deny any of this is even going on. Like, the new racism is denying that racism even happening. Right? So here's another one. It says, boycott. How despicable and shameful of you to use racism to sell products to make white people evil and black people innocent victims. That's what it was. I didn't even, you know what the funny thing about that was, is like, yo, they didn't even sell a product whatsoever. I didn't know that product didn't have any Downy in it. It didn't have any damn Swiffer in it. It didn't have any fucking Arm & Hammer. It didn't have none of that shit even in the ad. It was specifically about this particular issue. And because it is addressing black issues, this motherfucker talking about boycott. Sheryl Lynn comes back again. Somebody said it was an excellent commercial, and Sheryl Lynn was like, no, it's not an excellent video. It's disgusting. You're so dumb. You don't even realize what a racist video that is. See, check this out. Black people are very, 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 very astute when it comes to racism. We are students of the game, so to speak. We have had to learn the game for merely the means of survival. We've had to learn the game of racism. We know racism when we see it. We can taste it, man. We can feel it, man. We see it all the time. We don't need white people to try to tell us what racism is and what it isn't, because we know what the fuck it is. We know what it is. It's amazing, man. That's amazing. Corporations that market to insecurities while relying on cheap labor in China when they could be bringing good paying jobs to Americans. Yeah, just totally bypass what the fuck we're talking about here. Right? It's totally bypass what we're talking about. It says boycotting all products due to race baiting. 666, we are not for your props or for propaganda. Well, like, here's the thing, man. I know it's almost like this, man. You know, when we talk about how, like, sometimes when women would say, like, you know, men are trash or whatever, and, like, it's like one of those things, like, yo, I don't get upset because, yo, and sometimes I might have been, like, a trash-ass nigga at a point in my life. There's also a point where I'm at, like, I feel like a lot of the shit that they're talking about might not necessarily be talking about me. So, I get it. I'm not even mad at them for saying it. Niggas are trash. We exhibit those trash-ass behaviors every day, right? It's almost the same thing with white people, man. Like, they mad about being used as props and propaganda and all this other bullshit, right? But at the end of the day, there's a whole lot of white people who ain't got nothing to worry about when it comes to this shit right here, because they're not propagating the same kind of bullshit that the messages of that this message is talking against. They're not the ones that they're talking about. Only the ones who are like, it's those hit dogs hollering, bruh. That's all it is. The hit dogs are hollering, man. So then, of course, like I said, they had the one nigga, man, right? Conservative fighters had the one nigga that decided that he wanted to speak against this ad, right? So it says, black conservative Anthony Brian Logan called the ad overly dramatic and pointed out the ad serves a second purpose of devaluing the need for a nuclear family as one of the scenes showed a father present. As only one of the scenes showed a father present. As if that had, like, as if that somehow dilutes the actual message of what the fuck is going on. See, here's another thing too, because there's a lot of niggas, like, and I had, it was interestingly enough on Facebook, like, there was this post that I kind of came across and I shared it and I kind of talked about it, where this one dude was talking about, as a matter of fact, man, fuck it, let me, instead of like kind of paraphrasing, let me just go ahead and like kind of pull this shit up while I got the shit on the tip of my tongue, because I put this shit on Facebook. It's fucking stupid, but let me see if I could pull this up as my computer slows to a crawl. Come on, Facebook, and come on, Comcast, goddammit. I pay way too much money for y'all to be so goddamn slow. All right, so where is it? Okay, here's the post right here, right? So the post was made, and this dude, he posted, it was a meme, and it says single black mothers with multiple children by different men created the modern day ghetto, right? And the dude who posted it had a caption that said, this truth hurts. And when you consider over 70% of black women having black babies out of wedlock with no man present in the household, it shows you that these bitches could care less about solidifying family structure based on their poor decision making with the men they procreate with, and would rather settle for being single mothers on Section 8 than having strong black men in the household. Career baby mamas on welfare are sucking all on the white man's dick, taking every program the white man gives them so they can stand on top of black men alongside the white man. This bullshit has become a hustle for most black women on Section 8 with multiple kids by different men. Section 8 motherfuckers. Now, ironically, this same type of motherfucker wouldn't even fuck with a black conservative, right? Because they'll look at that nigga like he's a coon. Meanwhile, they're mirroring the same kind of fucking logic. They're mirroring the same talking points, right? Because we can go right back to conservative fighters. And this dude says the only kind of talk I got was, you need to do right. You need to do the best thing you got to be doing. He said it was all about personal accountability, personal responsibility. It's not about white people have this, white people got to have that. This whole commercial from Procter & Gamble is nothing more than a marketing ploy to try to get black women on the internet to buy their products. He said it's a marketing campaign to get people to come to purchase things. If nothing else, it's some kind of PSA. It's not an altruistic thing. It's about money, and that's it. Meanwhile, they haven't sold a fucking thing. Right? It's not a whole lot of damn products that have Procter & Gamble like emblazoned across the front of it, right? This ad isn't even on the fucking television. It's like on YouTube. And as a matter of fact, let's go to the YouTube channel. Let's see, where is it? Let's actually go to YouTube where it said. Let's see what the count on this. Okay, now it's at 1.6 million views. At the time Rod made this, made it known to me, it was like at 5,000. It's at 1.6 million views because of all of the attention it has been getting over the last couple of days, right? But the interesting thing is this. It's like, yo, Procter & Gamble didn't have any name brand products in this particular ad whatsoever. And so now you got this one dude on Conservative Fighters who's talking about, yeah, this is for them to pander to black women in order for them to like feel like they victims and all this other shit. I didn't get this talk. So because you didn't get the talk, that somehow means that everybody else didn't get the talk. That somehow, somehow everybody else is just making this shit up. Like, they're not dealing with this particular issue. I got the talk. I was 13 years old. And it came too late for me. This is after I had already been in a drug raid while playing basketball on the street with a 12 gauge to my fucking forehead with an officer telling me to run and see if I can outrun the slug while bringing me into a dope house. Having me strip search in the dope house, spreading my cheeks and cough to make sure that I ain't got no drugs in my ass, when really I was just outside playing fucking basketball, bruh. Then I got the talk. I was 13 years old. I got the talk then about how to conduct myself around police and whatever. I got the talk again when I got my driver's license. So just because the shit didn't happen for you doesn't mean it doesn't happen for everybody else. And it isn't about being a victim. It's about a reality of the fucking situation where, yo, some shit can happen to you based on the fact that you black. We've been shown that time and time and time again. And the interesting thing is, a lot of these motherfuckers, man, they would talk about being proponents of Dr. King and Malcolm X. And Malcolm X and Dr. King would probably look at you niggas like, I don't recognize you. You do not represent my message whatsoever. Because y'all echoing the same fucking sentiments that these white people who don't give a fuck about you are echoing, right? So as I look at this ad, as it speaks to a lot of truths, a lot of, and it did so in an effective way, man. It wasn't overtly like just calling white people all kind of names or nothing like that. It was an ad that was true to a lot of black people's experiences in the world, especially here in America. And for conservative fighters to go find them some random nigga who decided, like, yo, this ad doesn't speak to me because I didn't get to talk. As a matter of fact, I think they had a video of this nigga. Hold on. Let me see if I can pull this up. See if I can pull this up. Black conservative reaction to Procter & Gamble, the talk commercial. Let's see how long this video is. 15 minutes. I'm not going to play all 15 minutes, but let's see what this motherfucker got to say.
How's everybody doing? My name is Anthony Brian Logan, and today I want to talk about this commercial or marketing campaign. I'm not quite sure what this is, but it comes from Procter & Gamble on a YouTube channel called My Black is Beautiful. Now, the channel, I looked at some of the other videos. Basically, what it is like they're trying to sell hair care products and or black hair care products to black people.
If you watch the ad, it wasn't selling any motherfucking hair care products to anybody. They didn't have any products in the damn ad whatsoever.
Now, when I say that, I'm talking about like Head and Shoulders shampoo, that kind of stuff. They're trying to sell that to black folks, and they're trying to do some different kind of marketing to be able to do it. Now, this ad is only about 2 minutes long, but you'll see parents having the talk with their kids, and you can kind of tell by the outfits they have on throughout the commercial that it starts maybe in the 30s or 40s in America on up until present day. And you'll be able to see different iterations of the talk and what they're saying. You know, you got a lot of police stuff in here, a lot of racial stuff in here. And it just really adds to the racial tension that goes on in the country right now. But before I go down that rabbit hole of talking about it, what I want to do right now is show it to you. And then you'll be able to see what I'm talking about a little bit more clear. And this is not how these kind of talks happen. You know, they're making it seem like it's some kind of movie, like somebody about to die or something like that. But it ain't that deep. First of all, some of it was unrealistic. And a lot of it was to push a narrative about the nuclear family not being important. Because if you noticed, there was not a father in them except for one of the different scenarios. I only saw one dad. But the rest of it was just, you know, strong black woman trying to talk to her children. Because they know, Procter & Gamble, they know that the majority of women in the black community are single black mothers. So they're trying to market to them.
Now, interestingly enough, like I said, we were having this discussion about this shit on my Facebook page earlier this week when I came across that meme from that ashy motherfucker talking about black women being irresponsible and having multiple baby daddies and Section 8 motherfuckers and all this other shit. And here his whole thing is, you know, black women, you know, have their strong black women and they're single parents and all this other shit. Here's the thing that I've said before, and I guess I'm going to have to say this shit again. Just because, like, ever since that CDC number came out about black children being born into single parent homes at the clip of 70, I think it was 72%. We've seen white people use that number to bash black people over the head with. And we've also seen black men use that number to beat black women over the head with. Right? Now, interestingly enough, they stop at, 72% of black children are born into a single parent home. Where they don't go into the detail is, like, yeah, although 72% of black children may be born into single-parent homes, a lot of those children aren't being raised just by their mom. A lot of those children are being raised where their parents have joint custody. All single means is you're not married. That's it. All it means is you aren't married. There's a whole lot of people who have decided to have children who aren't married to their partner. Who have decided that they don't want to go through that. Who decided that that's not something that they wanted to do. They've made this child together. They're raising this child together. But they're not married. They're both single. The child's got to live somewhere. It doesn't automatically mean that this child is being raised by a single parent all the time. That doesn't necessarily mean that a child is being raised in a situation where he has no support system whatsoever. Sometimes that single mother does have a support system, and it may not even include the father. It may have her mom involved. It may have her father involved. It may have her sisters involved. It may have brothers involved, uncles and coaches and what have you. But she has a support system in place where that child isn't lacking for mentorship. He isn't lacking in discipline. He isn't lacking in drive. He isn't lacking in having means, like having food on the table and clothes on his back and a shelter over his head and shoes on his feet and what have you. Like, it just because a child is born into a single parent home does not mean that that child is only being raised by that mother. And so many ashy motherfuckers, including this dickhead here, gravitate towards those numbers as if to bludgeon black women with it. Meanwhile, it's also an indictment on they ashy asses, right? Because ironically, when I see black men perpetuating this number, it's ironic that, like, they always equate it to where, like, yo, these black women are having all these babies as if they're doing this shit by immaculate conception, like they having this shit by themselves. Like, yo, there was some ashy motherfuckers involved in the making of that baby also, right? So then, when you talk about that, like, man, no, but you know what, that go both ways, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the mamas, they try to keep the father out the house and all this other bullshit. Like, come on, bruh. Like, if you want to call for the accountability of black women when it comes to the procreation of children, how about you go ahead and talk to your fellas about whether or not they go ahead and wrap it up before they even have sex with this woman? Knowing that, it's funny, man. Like, it's a lot of cats who go out here, man, and they have children with women that they don't particularly like, right? They just want to have sex. And they don't even consider the fact that, yo, a child can result from this sexual act that we're doing right now. And when she decides to keep the baby, now they're mad at her for keeping the baby because they didn't really want to go into it for a baby. They just wanted that tingling feeling at the end of their dick after about 10 minutes. If they last 10 minutes, right? So, interestingly enough, conservative fighters use this dickhead here to talk about this ad being racist, and he didn't get to talk, and try to flip this into, well, what about single parent black households, and what about black on black crime, and what about this and what about that, as opposed to speaking to the issue that is being addressed right now. It's like, yo man, we got to have a talk to our children about how the police are going to deal with them, about how to deal with white people who are being unfair to them. Excuse me, we have to have these talk with our children so they know how to navigate in this world. We know racism because we've had to deal with it. We've had to experience it. We have to learn what it is so that we can survive in this world. And Procter & Gamble put out an ad that highlighted it to say, hey, man, maybe we should make a world where black parents don't have to have this conversation. And they got mad. They got mad. So, yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Fuck that. It's just one of those things, like,
that's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
It's not. It is not. So yeah, man. It's enough of that shit. We got another story, man, that kind of inspires a...
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
So this next story, man, I kind of want to talk about was Ray Lewis, right? Now, Ray Lewis was, of course, at this point, everybody knows who the fuck Ray Lewis is. He was a former linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens, man. He's a 2-time Super Bowl champion or some shit like that. He was one like the spirit of the team, you know what I'm saying? And like, you would have a hard time not to get hype watching Ray Lewis, like, come out of the tunnel and shit with his little dance and shit. Like, he's hype and, like, ready to go in there and, go to fucking war on the football field, right? Ray Lewis, after his retirement, has had some very interesting things to say about black people and how we navigate the world and how we deal with racial injustice and how we deal with social injustice in the United States of America, right? And interestingly enough, man, Ray Lewis took his ass on what's that show? It's called The Undefeated, I believe, with Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless, right? And Ray Lewis, he went on there. He was on the show because apparently the Baltimore Ravens were interested in signing Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick, of course, is the quarterback who Colin Kaepernick was the quarterback who took a knee and was sitting down during the national anthem last year in protest of police brutality and extrajudicial killings by the police last year. A lot of white folks took offense to the fact that he was kneeling during the national anthem and sitting during the national anthem. They didn't take offense to the fact that, like, yo, the reason for the protest was because, yo, police was out here killing niggas. But, yeah, okay, so they mad about that. And so a lot of teams have opted not to sign Colin Kaepernick to an NFL contract this year. He's still a free agent. A lot of lesser qualified quarterbacks have been signed to teams and given roster spots when this dude is still sitting out here. And a lot of at one point in time, man, people were talking about it was football reasons for Colin Kaepernick not having a job, that, you know, it was because of the systems that these teams employed, that, you know, that it wasn't a good fit for Colin Kaepernick, and, you know, all of these things. And you got teams that teams were signing guys right off the fucking street who hadn't played any NFL football whatsoever. Colin Kaepernick was a few yards away from winning the goddamn Super Bowl not too long ago, right? So the Baltimore Ravens were expressing interest in Colin Kaepernick. And the head coach of that football team, I think his name is John Harbaugh, and the general manager of that team, I think his name is Ozzie Newsome, decided that they really did want Colin Kaepernick on the team. But the owner of the team, I think his name is Bashadi or something like that, decided that he was getting pushback from fans on whether or not he should sign Colin Kaepernick to the Baltimore Ravens, right? And, of course, Ray Lewis, like, we're getting back to Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis went on The Undefeated, and he talked about the conversation that he was having with Bashadi about whether or not Colin Kaepernick should be a member of the Baltimore Ravens and whatnot. And Ray Lewis, I don't know, man. Like, he kind of talked about Colin Kaepernick keeping his activism to a minimum, right? Where he should almost do it in private, right? Let me read this article. This comes from ESPN.com. It says, Ray Lewis offered advice to Colin Kaepernick on Tuesday, just days after the Baltimore Ravens consulted Lewis about signing the free agent quarterback. In a video posted to Lewis's Twitter account, the former Ravens linebacker suggested that Kaepernick become quiet about his social activism. The football field is our sanctuary, Lewis said. If you do nothing else, young man, get back on the football field and let your play speak for itself. How the fuck is he supposed to get back on the football field if an owner or a team won't give him a shot to get back on the football field? Ray, how the fuck is he supposed to do that? It says, and what you do off the field, don't let too many people know because they're going to judge you anyway, no matter what you do, no matter if it's good or bad. So I'm not sure if Ray Lewis knows how activism.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
The thing with activism is a lot of it has to do with bringing attention to a problem, bringing attention to an issue. And if we bring attention to the issue, now we got to focus on how are we going to fix this, right? Colin Kaepernick made it a point to bring an issue to the extrajudicial killings that police were doing across this country. And he did it. So he did it in the most peaceful way. He kneeled during the national anthem. He sat during the national anthem. He didn't bring any attention to himself while he was doing this. It was only after the media decided that they're like, hold up, what's going on over there? And they asked him and he told them. And then all of a sudden, all these people got mad. They were like, oh, he's disrespecting the flag. He's disrespecting the military and all this other bullshit. When really that wasn't the gist of what his protest was about. He even spoke specifically about not disrespecting the military, having family that was in the military and who had served. Right? Now, a lot of this is people just putting their own shit on what Colin Kaepernick is doing so that they can be mad at Colin Kaepernick, right? But at the end of the day, it's really about the fact that Colin Kaepernick had the nerve to speak about the importance of preserving black life in America and preserving law and order, not only preserving law and order, but having accountability for the people, for the police who overstepped their bounds when they use excessive force against people of color, right? So interestingly enough, man, Ray Lewis wants Colin Kaepernick to shut up about his activism. It's interesting that we got Ray Lewis and we got Mike Vick who are coming out and they're talking about how Colin Kaepernick can make himself palatable to white audiences, to NFL audiences, to get back into the NFL. When both of these dudes, Ray Lewis was on trial for, I think it was obstruction of justice in a murder investigation. Years ago, Mike Vick was convicted of a dog fighting ring. Years ago, both of these dudes were accused of committing crimes. Both of them, Ray Lewis and Mike Vick. Mike Vick spent time in Leavenworth for those crimes. What crimes has Colin Kaepernick committed? Other than speaking up for the lives and the importance of preserving black life in America. What crimes has Colin Kaepernick committed other than speaking up for black people? He hasn't committed any crimes. And amazingly, the NFL has decided that what he has did was a step too far. Meanwhile, we've had cases of like dudes beating on their wives, beating on their girlfriends. We've had Dante Stallworth kill people in a drunk driving incident. We've had Greg Hardy had a domestic violence thing going on, you know, where he, and even after he was like convicted of the shit, he got a contract with the Dallas Cowboys after being released from the Carolina Panthers. You had Adrian Peterson was like beating the fuck out of his kid and people like they couldn't wait for him to come back in Minnesota. You had Ray Rice who was caught on video knocking his girlfriend the fuck out in an elevator and people coming to Ravens training camp to cheer him the fuck on to let him get back on the team. Like, we have seen people do a hell of a lot worse than Colin Kaepernick speaking up on behalf of black lives and get on an NFL roster. We've seen it. Now, interestingly enough, and this is another thing that has come up over the course of the last few weeks with Colin Kaepernick, is that I have been seeing there's been a lot of calls for boycotts, right? There's been calls for like boycotts, like, yo, if Colin Kaepernick doesn't get signed by an NFL team, then we should boycott the NFL. And the interesting thing about that is I kind of wonder, like, why was this? Why was this the straw that broke y'all, that broke the camel's back for some of y'all when it comes to boycotting the NFL? Why was it this one, this incident? I really want to know. Because we, like, again, I can run back the list of the things that have happened where we talked about these dudes beating up on their wives, where we talked about them beating up on their girlfriends, where we talk about them beating up on their kids, where we talk about them killing motherfuckers in drunk driving incidents, where we talk about them getting involved in shootings and what have you. Pac-Man Jones is a motherfucking repeat offender all over the place, and he's been in the NFL for quite some time with the Titans, with the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, we've got a whole lot of dudes in the NFL who have been accused of actual crimes, been convicted of actual crimes, and have had contracts extended in the NFL. They earning millions, some of them. But this is the thing that's breaking the camel's back for a lot of y'all. This one dude, I get it. Like, and it's not as if I don't support what Colin Kaepernick is talking about. Because I 100% do. But it was just interesting to watch. Like, everybody's like, this was the thing. Like, if Colin Kaepernick doesn't get signed, man, I'm not fucking with the NFL no more. It's like, man, all this shit that's been going on with the NFL, and it's taking this for you to say, fuck the NFL. Right? Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to watch some football this year. I am. I do want Colin Kaepernick on the team. Hell, the Lions could use him. We could use him. Why not? Matt Stafford gets hurt. Hell, Colin Kaepernick should come to Detroit. Their practice facility is right up the street from me, man. Like, it's not that far. I'll go see Colin Kaepernick practice and shit. Colin Kaepernick should come to Detroit. He should be a Detroit Lion. That's how I feel about it. Now, this being Trump country and shit now, you know, with all these damn racist white folks that's been, like, dormant around the Detroit area and what have you, it would probably be a little thick for him. But I think Colin Kaepernick should probably come to the Detroit Lions, man. And I'm going to watch some football. I just feel like it's a little interesting for me that out of all of the things that have been going on with the NFL and some of its players, that it was this thing that got a lot of people to, like, say, like, yo, we should really stop fucking with the NFL because of this. Despite all of the other things that have been going on with the NFL. So, yeah, man, interesting. It's interesting to me with Mike Vick, who suggested that Colin Kaepernick cut his hair in order to make himself more palatable to the NFL, or Ray Lewis, who was convicted of, well, no, he wasn't convicted. He got off on obstruction of justice charges for a murder or double murder. Both of these dudes are the ones who are telling Colin Kaepernick how to get back in the good graces of the NFL. Both of these dudes. Meanwhile, Mike Vick can't even get into the Hall of Fame of, I think it was the Virginia State Hall of Fame. He can't even get into that. They denied him entry into that because of the dogfighting thing. Again, your respectability will not always save you. Mike Vick is thinking, like, yo, I done totally rehabilitated my image. You know, I repented for what I did. And he did repent for a lot of the things, man. Like the whole dogfighting thing, man, he's come out. He's been a very big advocate for the eradication of dogfighting. He's been working with PETA. He's been working with the American Humane Society and all these other things to, like, kind of get the dogfighting shit eradicated and whatnot. And I applaud him for that. But at the same time, man, yo, you doing all of that. And they've always found a way to put you back in your place. And so for you to preach to another black man on how to conduct himself when he's fighting for the lives of both you and me, to tell him that what he's doing isn't going to get him where he needs to go. And that instead of talking to him, you should be talking to the NFL on why what they're doing to him is wrong. Because at this particular point, every fucking reason that they've given for why he isn't on the NFL roster has fallen apart, whether it's the system, whether it's the players that would be playing in front of him. Every last one of those excuses have fallen apart. And then you got NFL GMs coming out and saying, like, yo, I really want to sign this guy, but the owner is not letting me do it. In the case of the Baltimore Ravens, where Bisciotti is like pretty much shitting on Ozzie Newsome and John Harbaugh. So, yeah, man, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. And to juxtapose Colin Kaepernick with a Ray Lewis and a Mike Vick, when Colin Kaepernick has not committed any fucking crime whatsoever, is a bit asinine to me, right? So, yeah, that's not how this works, man.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
All right, we're coming up to close to the end of the show. But before we go, of course, it's a Sunday and we got our ass hat of the week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And our ass hat of the week of this week, of course, is, you know what? I think this is the first time. Did I do this last week? Did the Breakfast Club get the ass hat of the week last week? Because goddamn it, they got it this week, bro. The Breakfast Club got the ass hat of the week this week. So let me tell y'all why the Breakfast Club got the ass hat of the week this week, right? Of course, last week we were talking about the Breakfast Club and them bringing on Lil Duval. And Lil Duval making some transphobic statements about killing a trans person for misleading him, quote unquote, after having sex with them, right? And it was a scenario set up by DJ Envy, a hypothetical, so to speak, about what he would do, right? And the Breakfast Club, while they were having this conversation with Lil Duval, they were laughing. They were setting the scenarios up. They were laughing. It was pretty much an endorsement of what the fuck was going on, despite their contention and like, yo, we told him you can't say that and all this other shit. Like, yo, you brought him on. You knew what kind of dude he was. You knew what kind of reaction he would probably give. And yet you decided that that was the person that you was going to ask what he thought about Donald Trump having transgender people in the military. You knew what the fuck you were doing, right? So in the aftermath of that, the Breakfast Club been getting shit, man. It was like a hashtag boycott Breakfast Club that was trending on Twitter. People were like, you know, coming to, I think it was Politicon, man, Patrice Cullors, and a lot of trans activists were coming up on Charlamagne Tha God and like letting them know what he said wasn't all right, what they did wasn't okay. And the Breakfast Club, as opposed to taking accountability for what the fuck it was and acknowledging what it was that they did while he was on the show. Yo, they actually just tried to throw Lil Duval up under the motherfucking bus, man. So check this out. This is a video of the Breakfast Club, or some audio from the Breakfast Club, for like them taking phone calls from their audience on what happened with Lil Duval. So check this out, man. Listen to this shit.
You're watching The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, Friday, Lil Duval was up here, and he said this. Yeah. So say you met a girl, and she didn't tell you she was a transgender.
That ain't a girl. I met a boy. That means I met a boy.
After 4 months, she told you I had sex, and then after...
We're not having sex. We're not having sex.
Yes, after 4 months, you had sex, and she said, Duval...
This might sound messed up, and I don't care. She dying. I can't deal with that.
Was no, that's a hate crime.
I can't do that. You manipulated me to believe in this thing. My mind, I can't. I'm gay now.
I'm gay.
No, you're not. She's a woman.
No, no.
Now, on Friday, he also said this.
I do agree that you are taking away a person's power of choice.
Yeah.
When you don't tell them up front. That's why when Janet Mock was there, she said she tells
there should be all... some type of repercussions for that if you do that
to
somebody.
She go to jail or something.
Okay, hold on a second. I got to go to the next session before we get cut off. So let me add a new session really quickly here before we get cut off. Hold on a second. Today's show went a little bit longer than I expected it to. So let me hurry up and do this really quick. So, All right. Okay. So let me we can go back into and start that back up.
Something.
Some like,
so been, until said, then I'm gonna have my own repercussions. So.
When Janet Mock was here, she said she tells all her partners. She didn't tell the first one.
Who?
Janet Mock.
Who is that?
A transgender activist.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Beautiful person.
Okay.
But you can't go around killing transgenders.
I'm not gonna kill transgenders. I'm not. I didn't say. See, here you go trying to flip my words. I didn't say I'm gonna kill transgenders. I said if one did that to me,
if you had sex with one and then they didn't,
and they didn't tell me, I'm gonna be so mad. I'm probably gonna want to kill them.
Well, people were mad at the Breakfast Club. Said we shouldn't allow them to say that and are boycotting the Breakfast Club. Well, so we're asking.
Well, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you actually listen to the interview instead of listening to the manipulated clip that people have been circulating, you specifically heard us tell him that this is, you can't do that.
What we also heard was you guys laughing. What we also saw was you guys use Janet Mock as a prop in the discussion. What we also heard you say was like, yo, Janet Mock is pretty, and like, yo, like, and made him have to make a statement that, of course, you knew it was going to be probably ignorant considering who the fuck we were talking to. So, like, although you sat there like, yeah, you can't say that, at the same time, you knew what the fuck you were doing by in setting that whole scenario up. And to act as if the Breakfast Club, like, as the Breakfast Club, to act as if they didn't have any fucking culpability in that particular situation whatsoever is cowardly as fuck, especially since they're going to basically lay all this shit at the feet of Lil Duval.
It's a hate crime. I specifically said you can't go around killing transgenders. Well, let's, I said that verbatim.
Now, one thing I do want to say, though, is that it has been something for me that's been really important for us to get information about the transgender community and be more educated about it, which is why I had Janet Mock come to the show, which is why I feel like we've always up here advocated for equal rights for everyone, no matter what gender that you identify with. So that's never been an issue for us.
I mean, listen, I don't have no problem with having a conversation with anybody. I will sit around and kick it with anyone. And a lot of times to the detriment of my own...
but you know what I don't like? If I don't know and I'm asking a question, it's not because I'm trying to be funny. It's because I honestly don't know.
Hey.
Well, what the fuck was you laughing so hard about then, bro? Right? Was it because you didn't know you were laughing? Were you laughing out of nervousness? And if you were having this conversation with Lil Duval, like, what the fuck were you expecting to learn there? What really were you trying to learn with Lil Duval? Like, come on, man.
You know what I don't like? Hmm. I don't like people trying to hold me accountable for the words of another man. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not apologizing for the words of Lil Duval.
Right, and I think
they're not asking you to apologize for the words of Lil Duval. They're asking you to apologize for even setting up the motherfucking scenario. Y'all knew what the fuck y'all were doing when y'all had the dude on. Why did you think it was prudent for you to have that kind of conversation with him? How is this missing anybody?
I think it's very clear if you listen to the whole entire interview, you can hear that none of us are like, yes, Lil Duval, that's what you should do.
We condemned it.
You also laughed at it.
Duval even reneged on it later on in the conversation.
Yes, you know when he reneged? When I told him that you can't go around killing transgender women.
And he knows that. But I understand the hurt for that community with things that have been happening. So I'm not going to take away from how they feel about it, but I just want to make sure it's expressed that we have never in any way, like, we didn't say those comments and we didn't agree with them.
My whole thing is focus the energy on.
And there it is. They're distancing themselves from it. All of this is about, oh, Lil Duval said that shit. We ain't had nothing to do with it. Totally absolving themselves of any kind of accountability while they're complicit in all of this shit.
I'm the right person. Mm-hmm. All you people out there calling for me to apologize, I'm telling you right now, I am not apologizing for the words of another man. If we are going to get to the place where we start, if we're taking accountability for the things our guests say, then we don't need to have no guests.
Well, let's go to the phone lines. We have Sandra on the line. Sandra, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think, Mama?
You guys should not be held accountable for what other people say. That makes zero sense. Duval's a grown man. He can say whatever he wants, and he doesn't have to agree. I feel like with the whole transgender situation, it's still fairly new. People don't really understand what's going on in their bodies, what's going on in their minds, and some people aren't comfortable with it yet, and that's okay. Transgender people need to respect that. Other people just don't get it yet.
Can I ask you a question?
Now, you know what's interesting about that, this caller, is that there's a contingent of people. I'm sure the sister probably wouldn't even, she probably wouldn't agree with me here. But there was a contingent of times where, like, yo, people were uncomfortable with black people sitting side by side with white people. There was a time where, like, yo, desegregation of the schools was a really big fucking thing. And white people were really uncomfortable with sitting around black people, right? Like, I know a lot of times when niggas hate for me to even make these sort of comparisons, but the irony of a lot of this shit is this, man. Like, y'all don't understand how close y'all sound to the racist white people who used to fuck with your grandparents all the time. Y'all really don't understand how it comes across. y'all starting to use the same talking points that were used against your very own people to justify the subjugation of another group of people. I will never be cool with that. I can't be cool with that. As somebody, as a black man who has to deal with racism and subjugation in America, I cannot be cool with the subjugation of somebody else also. And justify it because, well, we're not comfortable with that. I can't do it. I can't do it, man. Pick up a book. Learn some shit. Talk to some people. Get out of your motherfucking, get out of your small ass circle where everybody is believing the same shit, even though the shit y'all believe in might not necessarily be true. Learn some new shit. Step outside your comfort zone a little bit. Learn something. We're doing the same things, man. We're doing the same things that white people were doing to us. And it's disappointing. It's disheartening to listen to people talk about this issue, talk about how they're treating these people as if it's somehow supposed to just be okay, but that I'm just not comfortable with it. They got to understand that. Like, yo, they say the same thing about your rights, about you going to school with white people. They didn't want you going to school with white people. My kids shouldn't have to go to school with a nigger. My daughter shouldn't have to go to school with a nigger. They thought about you the exact same fucking way, man. So, yeah, it's because of this shit, man. The Breakfast Club takes no motherfucking accountability whatsoever, and they're part in this whole shit. And because of that, the Breakfast Club are the ass out of the week this week here at Despair Report.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we do have a champ. All right, the champ of the week this week here at the Span Report Podcast is Shannon Sharp, man. Shannon Sharp is the Span Report Podcast champ of the week. And the reason why, man, is because, of course, like I said, Shannon Sharp has been one of the more vocal, supporters of Colin Kaepernick and Colin Kaepernick's fight for getting back into the NFL and his right to speak out on behalf of Black lives and the fight for Black lives in America, right? And so because of that stance, man, Shannon Sharp, ironically, man, being on Fox Sports 1 is inundated with a lot of shit, man, especially coming from a lot of these right wing talking heads, man. All right. You know, it's interestingly enough, like even with the sports, man, people have gotten to a point where like even our sports has been considered left-leaning or right-leaning, right? So now ESPN is supposedly the MSNBC of sports coverage, and Fox Sports, of course, is the Fox News contingent of sports coverage or whatever. And like they have voices like Colin Cowherd and fucking Jason Kunlock and a lot of ESPN rejects over at the Fox Sports One, right? And so we talked about Clay Travis earlier in the show. And Clay Travis, again, he was the dude who had the kid with the lights on the airplane, right? So Clay Travis decides that because Shannon Sharp speaks so forcefully about Colin Kaepernick and his situation, that he wants to kind of troll Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless on their support of Colin Kaepernick. So I'm reading this story here out of TheRoot.com. It says, so those on the right have this thing where they say completely triggering comments that would have a triggering effect on any sane, rational, thinking human person with compassion and empathy. So only they can say triggered after you've gone there. It's a game for them. On Monday, Fox Sports' Clay Travis decided he was going to come for former NFL player Shannon Sharp, who has been vocal about his support for still unemployed NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick. Here's Sharp in 2016 breaking down why Kaepernick's protests mattered. Let's see if I can give Shannon Sharp his just due and play some of this audio here. And it's moving a little slow, but here we go.
In World War II, there are a lot of African Americans that went to foreign they soil sure to fight. Mm-hmm. They were fighting for freedoms in a foreign land that when they came home, they didn't enjoy themselves. Under that flag, with those veterans. So think about this. You go to Germany and you go overseas and you fight for freedoms of people you have no idea, have nothing in common with. And the very country that you're representing, when you come back to it, you're a second-class citizen.
Correct.
Agreed. Me, agreed. I have a very unique perspective skill.
Okay.
I'm from rural South Georgia.
You are.
I'm 48 years old, Skip. And if I don't tell you my religion, you can't guess it. If I don't tell you my mom's name, you couldn't guess it. I was dirt poor. 1,000 square feet, 10 people sometime, cement floors, tin roof. I'm well off now. The one thing that I've been for 48 years is black. That's what you see. You don't see my religion. You don't see my orientation. You don't know my political affiliation. But you see this. I see people get on shows and the officers say non-compliance. Well, I saw a guy in Florida, a white guy, stab two people, kill him, stabbed another guy, was eating the guy's face. Female officer tased him. They have to wait 10, 15 minutes, and they take him alive. I see a guy selling CDs, and he's killed. I see a guy selling loose leaf cigarettes, and he's killed. See, that's what gets us up in arms.
I should.
Because you say non-compliance is a death sentence. If a man is gnawing a man's face after he's killed two people, we see what happened in Colorado. The guy killed 12, and they take him alive. We see what happened in Charleston. What nine parishioners. He drives. Not only do they take him alive, they take him by Burger King because he's hungry. So you think we're supposed to be okay with this?
No.
All right. So listening to that, you can kind of see where Shannon Sharp stands on this particular issue, right? So apparently Clay Travis, the asshole with the son who got lice, decided that he was going to go to Twitter and talk shit to Shannon Sharp. So he says, hey, real Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp, 20 of 28 unarmed people shot and killed by police in 2017 are white or Hispanic. He says, as a percentage of violent crimes committed, white and Hispanic people are more likely to get shot by police. He says, facts matter. And you guys look dumb supporting Kaepernick's protest and spouting left-wing lies. Black men are 6% of population and commit 51% of murders in U.S. per FBI. 93% of their victims are black. Protest that. Then Travis's real reason for reaching out became clear. He says, look, at Shannon Sharp and at Real Skip Bayless, I'm happy to come on your show any day and share facts and quadruple the average show IQ. Just tell me when. And basically Shannon Sharp was like, yo, man, I don't fuck with you. Don't make me lose my job. Enjoy your day. Get the fuck on. This is why I didn't have any fucking sympathy for Clay Travis earlier in the show when it came to his son having lice and being kicked off of a goddamn plane. He's a paid dickhead. And Shannon Sharp acted appropriately in treating him like the paid dickhead that he is while pleading with him, hey, man, don't make me fuck you up. Right? So Shannon Sharp, man, like I said, I'm a big fan of some of the things that Shannon Sharp has to say on that particular network. And especially with his advocacy for Colin Kaepernick, man, Shannon Sharp has pretty much earned his spot, man. Damn near in the Champ Hall of Fame right now. So Shannon Sharp is the Span Report Champ of the Week this week here at the Span Report, man. Real talk. But yeah, I got to get out of here. I do. But before I go, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead, hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play them on the show and respond right here on the show as well. You can also email me here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those, leave me those emails, man. And of course, I read those emails here live on the show as well. You can also hit me up at Twitter. My name on both Twitter and Instagram is at Mr_Span. Chop it up with me at Mr_Span. And we can chop it up throughout the week, man. Also, like me on Facebook. Matter of fact, join the Facebook group, man. Go ahead and join the group on Facebook. It's the Span Report, #TSRP. The fam. Search up the group on Facebook and go ahead and apply to join, man. I'll add you guys as I get those invites or as I get those requests, right? And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. Everything is there. Everything is there. You can donate to the show. You can buy a t-shirt. You can vote in the polls. You can leave comments on the episodes, man. You can download the show. You can watch the show. Everything is available at thespanreport.com. Go there. It's your one-stop shop for everything Span Report. And I appreciate everybody who goes ahead and does that, man. But, yeah, I'm going to be gone for at least a week. So, I'm going to be celebrating my anniversary with my wife. And it's going to be great, man. So I appreciate you guys for listening. And I can't wait to talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace.